Today, Fed stands pat, waiting for data and resisting incoming pressure, but maybe becoming obsolete. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. Today, we're going to look at what happened over in the US with the Fed's decision and set it in a broader context, which raises some very interesting questions about the future of the Fed and its relationship with the Treasury. Yesterday's Fed decision to hold their cash rate, despite two dissenters on the FOMC, Governors Christopher Waller and Michelle Bowman, who both were Trump appointees, by the way, voted 9-2 to hold its benchmark federal funds rate in the range of 4.25 to 4.5%. This was an interesting object lesson in, let's call it, two Americas. One based on the current data showing balanced employment and growth, despite, though, millions of Americans saying jobs are suddenly hard to get, even as inflation refuses to be tamed, while the impact of tariffs have yet to be fully seen. But the other America is that many are doing it tough already, with high interest rates hitting mortgage rates and home buyers and indirectly pushing government borrowing costs up, both linked, of course, to the longer term yield curves, which continue their upward path. Of course, American consumers will end up paying taxes on the tariffs. That's because tariffs make imported goods more expensive. So when Americans buy those goods, the sales tax is applied to the higher price. So in effect, state and local governments tax the tariffs. But it also raises broader questions about the role of Treasury versus the Fed, as we'll see later. Anyway, the committee's decision followed what Powell called a good meeting to hold steady once again. And they defied the intense pressure from President Donald Trump to cut rates. Moments before the decision, Trump predicted the Fed would lower rates in September and criticised the central bank again for not moving more quickly, having previously called for 300 basis points worth, or 3% of rate cuts. Trump, of course, has been focusing on the cost of debt and the rate cuts running across many other countries. But Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell shrugged off pressure from the White House and rejected arguments for an interest rate cut from the two dissenting officials, maintaining the central bank needed to stay on guard against inflation risks.
My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on achieving our dual mandate goals of maximum employment and stable prices for the benefit of the American people. Despite elevated uncertainty, the economy is in a solid position. The unemployment rate remains low, and the labor market is at or near maximum employment. Inflation has been running somewhat above our 2% longer run objective. In support of our goals, today the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. We believe that the current stance of monetary policy leaves us well positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments. I will have more to say about monetary policy after briefly reviewing economic developments. Recent indicators suggest that growth of economic activity has moderated. GDP rose at a 1.2% pace in the first half of this year, down from 2.5% last year. Although the increase in the second quarter was stronger at 3%, focusing on the first half of the year helps smooth through the volatility in the quarterly figures related to the unusual swings in net exports. The moderation in growth largely reflects a slowdown in consumer spending. In contrast, business investment in equipment and intangibles picked up from last year's pace. Activity in the housing sector remains weak. In the labor market, conditions have remained solid. Payroll job gains averaged 150,000 per month over the past 3 months. The unemployment rate at 4.1% remains low and has stayed in a narrow range over the past year. Wage growth has continued to moderate while still outpacing inflation. Overall, a wide set of indicators suggests that conditions in the labor market are broadly in balance and consistent with maximum employment. Inflation has eased significantly from its highs in mid-2022, but remains somewhat elevated relative to our 2% longer-run goal. Estimates based on the Consumer Price Index and other data indicate that total PCE prices rose 2.5% over the 12 months ending in June, and that, excluding the volatile food and energy categories, core PCE prices rose 2.7%. These readings are little changed from the beginning of the year, although the underlying composition of price changes has shifted. Services inflation has continued to ease, while increased tariffs are pushing up prices in some categories of goods. Near-term measures of inflation expectations have moved up on balance over the course of this year on news about tariffs, as reflected in both market-based and survey-based measures. Beyond the next year or so, however, most measures of longer-term expectations remain consistent with our 2% inflation goal. Our monetary policy actions are guided by our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. At today's meeting, the committee decided to maintain the target range for the federal funds rate at 4.25% to 4.5%, and to continue reducing the size of our balance sheet. We will continue to determine the appropriate stance of monetary policy based on the incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks. Changes to government policies continue to evolve, and their effects on the economy remain uncertain. Higher tariffs have begun to show through more clearly to prices of some goods, but their overall effects on economic activity and inflation remain to be seen. A reasonable base case is that the effects on inflation could be short-lived, reflecting a one-time shift in the price level. But it is also possible that the inflationary effects could instead be more persistent, and that is a risk to be assessed and managed. Our obligation is to keep longer-term inflation expectations well anchored and to prevent a one-time increase in the price level from becoming an ongoing inflation problem. For the time being, we're well positioned to learn more about the likely course of the economy and the evolving balance of risks before adjusting our policy stance.
As a result, stocks fell, bond yields rose, and the dollar strengthened, as Chair Powell sounded actually more hawkish than many expected on the outlook for policy rates. It was actually the fifth consecutive time this year that they held rates, and that double descent was actually the first time in more than 30 years. During the press conference following the decision, Powell leaned into the view that the Fed is well positioned for now, given lingering uncertainties surrounding President Donald Trump's tariffs and their economic impact. His message, I think, was carefully balanced, tempering expectations for a September rate cut, but not closing the door on one either. A reasonable base case is that the effects on inflation could be short-lived, reflecting a one-time shift in the price level, but it also is possible that the inflationary effect could instead be more persistent, and that is a risk to be assessed and managed, Powell said. The Fed chief noted several economic reports are due before September, including 2 months' worth of data on employment and inflation. We'll be taking that information into consideration and all the other information that we get as we make our decision at the September meeting, he said. Powell said interest rates are in the right place to manage continued uncertainty around tariffs and inflation, and did again temper expectations for a rate cut in September. There are many, many uncertainties left to resolve, he said. It doesn't feel like we're very close to the end of that process. And in their post-meeting statement, officials downgraded their view of the US economy, saying recent indicators suggest that growth of economic activity moderated in the first half of the year. The Fed had previously characterized growth as expanding at a solid pace. Powell said that moderation largely reflects a slowdown in consumer spending, but when asked to expand on that, he said that it has been long expected and consumers are still, in quote, in solid shape. And he also acknowledged but played down risk to employment, pushing back against concerns that had been raised by Waller that the labour market was showing signs of deterioration. Seems to me, and to almost the whole committee, that the economy is not performing as though a restrictive policy is holding back it inappropriately, Powell said. most policymakers have argued that the Fed should hold off on rate cuts to gauge the impact of tariffs on inflation. Several have also emphasized that a strong labor market has allowed them to remain patient. In their statement, central bank officials repeated the view that the labor market was solid and inflation remains somewhat elevated. They dropped the observation from a previous statement that uncertainty over the economic outlook had diminished, while repeating that uncertainty remains elevated. Waller and Bowman's dissents did mark the first time since 1993 that two members of the Board of Governors voted against a committee decision. The FOMC's voting ranks, including seven governors and five of the 12 regional reserve bank presidents. For months, Fed officials have been bracing for higher unemployment and inflation as a result of the aggressive set of tariffs from the Trump administration, which of course continue to move around. And data released on Wednesday showed that gross domestic product increased an analyzed 3% in the second quarter after shrinking at a 0.5% rate in the previous period. The swing was caused largely by the front-loading of imports in the first quarter as companies moved to get ahead of tariffs. Consumer spending advanced at its slowest pace over consecutive quarters since the onset of the pandemic, though. But the levies haven't yet had a significant impact on inflation and employment data. Inflation came in below estimates for a fifth straight month in June, though prices for some goods directly exposed to tariffs, including toys, apparel, and electronics, did jump. Unemployment ticked lower to 4.1% as the administration's crackdown on immigration reduced labour supply. While Waller and Bowman voted against the committee decision on Wednesday, they may not be too far ahead of several other officials. In June, rate projections showed two policymakers favoured three cuts this year and eight more expected two cuts. But then Powell said that that was then. This is now. And by the way, Fed Governor Andrea Kugler didn't attend the meeting due to a personal matter, according to a central bank spokesperson. Interest rate futures showed traders pared back the probability of a September rate cut to about 40% from around 60% prior to the decision. Powell maintained a neutral stance, sending the message that officials still have a lot more to learn about the economy before they'll be ready to act, said Claudia Sahm, chief economist at New Century Advisors and a former Federal Reserve economist. They're going to need more data to resolve the disagreements, and that'll take time, she said. It would be purely that right now they want all their options open. Trump's imposition of new tariffs on dozens of US trading partners has injected uncertainty into the economic outlook and the Fed's policy calculus. The Trump administration has been negotiating trade deals with several countries ahead of the August 1 deadline and has struck agreements with Japan and the EU. We're still a ways away from seeing where things settle down, Powell said of the negotiations. Yes, we are learning more and more, but it doesn't feel like we're very close to the end of that process. Consumer inflation data for June signals companies are beginning to more meaningfully pass on some tariff-related costs to consumers, and Powell suggested that the Fed was a bit looking through goods inflation by not raising rates. Looking ahead, he said policymakers would ensure that tariffs didn't lead to serious inflation, and he added that policymakers aim to balance cutting rates too soon, which could prevent inflation from reaching the Fed's 2% goal, and cutting too late and potentially damaging the labour market. What we're trying to do is to accomplish that in a way that is efficient, Powell said, but in the end, there should be no doubt that we will do what we need to do to keep inflation under control. The word of the day was efficient. It's more efficient to stay on hold than to cut prematurely and then have to hike later, said Bank of America analysts in notes to clients. Previously, Bowman had pointed to signs of fragility in the labour market, while Waller said slowing private sector payrolls also signalled underlying weakness in the US employment landscape. But I suppose it depends on how you interpret the data. Powell on Wednesday said the policymakers will be paying attention to downside risks in the labour market that are certainly apparent, but he's described the labour market as solid and said the Fed is closer to its goal of fostering maximum employment in the economy than it is to its 2% objective for inflation. That means policy should be tight, because tight policy is what brings inflation down, he said. If you came to the view that the risks of the two were more in balance, that would imply that policy shouldn't be restrictive. James Knightley, chief international economist at ING, said the views represent different opinions on the urgency of the situation the Fed is confronting. Perhaps it's more of a timing issue rather than a pure disagreement, Knightley said. Chair Powell is looking at it, but he sees less pressing need for action. One other point to note, by the way, having fled the US dollar for the euro since April, the four-day weakening in the euro versus dollar has been the biggest since February 2023, so there will be international consequences from some of these decisions. But coming back to this other issue about the relationship between Treasury and the Fed, it seems that as Powell holds firm on the cash rate, over at the Treasury, Scott Bessent is executing a very deliberate, forward-leaning restructuring of usury Treasury issuance that blends, well, financial repression, soft yield curve control, and liquidity engineering, all without overtly stepping on the Federal Reserve's turf. He is effectively re-architecting the Treasury's role as a macroeconomic actor. This is about controlling the curve, anchoring expectations, and projecting calm in a system that's probably far more brittle under the hood than the headlines might suggest. With the Fed refusing to cut rates quickly, Bessent's move acts as a liquidity offset, preserving short-end demand, dampening long-end volatility, and buying time for fiscal breathing room. This is de facto fiscal monetary coordination, even if it's not formally acknowledged. Actually, the strategy has two prongs. The first, Bessent is leaning heavily into Treasury bills, those maturing in less than 1 year, because they carry lower interest rate costs and roll over quickly. This allows the government to finance massive deficits whilst avoiding locking in high long-term rates. This is a bet that either future rates will fall or that inflation will quietly erode the real burden of the debt. Second, Bessent is now doubling down on Treasury buybacks, particularly on long-dated bonds issued at much higher yields. Those buybacks reduce the average interest cost of the debt and smooths market functioning, but they also suppress long-end yields in a way that mimics quantitative easing without requiring the Fed balance sheet expansion. Buybacks are now running at over $300 billion per year, with long-end operations expanding and new counterparties being phased in for 2026. So this is targeted curve management. The risk is the US is increasingly exposed to rollover fragility as a result of all this. By front-loading debt into the bill market, the Treasury is making itself vulnerable to any disruption in short-duration demand, whether from money markets, foreign buyers, or liquidity shocks. If confidence in short-term instruments wavers, the whole structure could wobble. And here, we'll just mention stablecoins, because, of course, stablecoins is now coming into view too as another mechanism, which again is sort of going round the Fed. But it also highlights a real pivot in terms of who is driving the interest rate policy. This, of course, was never discussed in the Powell press conference, but perhaps there is some sort of signed agreement or alignment with Jerome Powell's Federal Reserve. The two reportedly meet each week, and Powell has publicly hinted that the Treasury can support bond market functioning. With the Fed refusing to cut rates quickly, Bessent's moves acts as a liquidity offset, preserving short-end demand, dampening long-end volatility, and buying time for fiscal breathing room. So this is actually de facto fiscal monetary coordination, even if it's not formally acknowledged. It also allows money supply to continue to grow. Just look at the money supply growth recently. Even as the Fed continues to shrink its own balance sheet. So there is, as they say, more than one way to skin a cat. And perhaps quietly, the Fed is being sidelined because it won't cut rates, and the Treasury is expanding its remit, whilst, of course, still maintaining the view, publicly at least, that the Fed has a role. This is something that we need to watch as we go forward, because it fundamentally could be re-architecting the relationship between the government and the Fed, with the government taking ever more control. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. May thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.